So, you may not have known this, but September is National Recovery Month. SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, has an official definition of recovery as, and I quote, a process of change through which individuals improve their health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and strive to reach their full potential. So when we talk about recovery-oriented principles, this is exactly what we have in mind. We put our grant dollars behind the idea that people can do more than just endure their challenges, but can thrive and flourish in spite of them. But this sounds so subjective, so open to interpretation. What about those who are trying to operationalize recovery principles in the at the community and the systems level? What have they learned, and what can we learn from them? Joining us today are two individuals for whom recovery is not just a mantra, but a paradigm for how systems, organizations, and communities should be structured and function. Our first guest is Athena McClendon, a member of Austin Clubhouse. Austin Clubhouse is a grantee of the Hogg Foundation and a member of Clubhouse International, the umbrella organization for the larger Clubhouse movement. What is the Clubhouse movement? Rather than try to define it for you, I'll just go ahead and let Austin Clubhouse tell you. What you're about to hear is from a video that they recently produced.
I'm Athena, and I'm a member of the Austin Clubhouse. I realized I was having some mental challenges. I was diagnosed with lupus, and prior to my diagnosis, I started experiencing a myriad of symptoms. Just not being able to remember dates and times and thinking the days were running into each other, and I couldn't process it, and it was very scary once I made that connection. And then that started the depression, the depressive cycle, because I began to grieve my life. My life was changed completely after this illness, and I began to grieve the woman that I was. The day that it changed for me was the day that I heard about the Austin Clubhouse. And when I heard the Clubhouse speakers come and talk, they had such life and energy and such purpose, and I wanted that. I didn't know how to get it. So after they came, I waited. It took about another 2 months for me to come and do the tour and have the lunch. It was such a hard thing to do. I was like, I'm gonna do it. And when I did it, I haven't looked back. That was the day my life changed. I feel connected right here. It's because of the relationships I've developed at the Clubhouse. There are people who look forward to seeing me, that are depending on me. My outlook about recovery has changed. It is possible. I'm living proof of it.
Quite a lot to promise. Athena, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about yourself. How long have you been a member of the Clubhouse, and how did you first get involved?
Well, it's quite an unbelievable yet amazing story of the transformative power of community. I am the second born, oldest daughter of a pastor here in Austin. I was born in a family of five. And in this family, we were taught principles that were very Christian, very traditional. And it gave me a sure path to a lifestyle that I could be independent with and I could thrive in. I became a member of the Austin Clubhouse because something went wrong. Along that path, something happened to me. I think life happened to me, and it was very hard to deal with. I had the promise of faith and family, but I didn't really know myself at the time. So I had a little break. I had severe depression, and then I had a medical condition that totally changed me on the outside and inside. And because of this manifestation of change through my skin and hair and teeth, everything. I thought I couldn't belong with people anymore, especially people who had these expectations of me growing up, and then new people who wouldn't know my story,
yeah.
but they would just see me. And I felt ashamed. I was in a lot of shame and fear. And one day the Austin Clubhouse came to where I lived. And I lived like a recluse, a hermit. I never came out of my apartment for anything but counseling. And that was once a week. That was a guaranteed once a week me getting out of my house, because the depression was so severe and so profound. And I was in such darkness. But when they came and spoke to our community, it struck a nerve that I hadn't had plucked in a long time, and I was scared. It resonated, but I was afraid. I wasn't ready yet. And I took a tour about 2 months later, because it took that long. And then I finally came by myself another 3 months later. And I thought I would come in, get to know everybody for about a couple of weeks. And then, you know, I decided if I, you know, would belong or stay. Within having lunch with a person who talked to me and asked me my story, I was in a project within 30 minutes after lunch. And my life has been totally amazing since then. So that's how I got involved.
So Athena, as far as you're concerned, what is a clubhouse? And what are the core elements that make it a special experience?
A clubhouse to me is a place that is beyond accreditation standards. It's beyond the typical workshop or shelter or day stop, right? Mm-hmm. It's a place where we create a work order day. Most people start work about 9 o'clock, right? And they go to 5. That's what we mimic. Mm-hmm. A clubhouse at that point becomes a place where we interact and we have community. We cook a meal together. We share a lunch together. That's very healthy and well-rounded. And during this time, we're socializing. We're catching up on what's happening in each other's lives, what's going to be the events of the day, what's happened in current events around the world. We're able to have those type of interactions. A clubhouse is a place of fun, and it also acts as a place of stability, which is a hard lesson that I just had to learn, but yeah. It was possible. A clubhouse is more than a place to be. It's a place to belong.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's what I was looking for in my depression and isolation. That's what my heart really wanted.
Right. So going back to what you just said, you had mm-hmm. to learn that fun and stability were two things that you could have at the same time in your life.
Yes.
Right.
And it was not one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, some people say because of the background of depression and mania and psychosis, people think if you get too up, you know, there's a problem. But it's okay for you to be down. And no, stability comes from when you're just truly yourself.
Yeah.
Being authentic. Yeah, I'm having a bad day and it's okay. Yeah. I can still go to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to shy away from people just because, you know, things aren't right or I have these pressing, you know, things to do, commitments to do for my mental health or for Social Security or all that kind of stuff. I can come and get help here. I have resources here. People help me. And in terms of stability and fun and just being who I am, and at that moment, if I'm feeling great, if I'm not, if others around me are feeling great or if they're not, I can still be supportive. And that's what I enjoy most about coming to the clubhouse is that support. Even if it's needing help with a job or a resume or
yeah.
what to do once I get a job, how do I tackle this problem? I'm having this interaction problem with other staff, or I'm not quite sure how to do my job. Can you help me understand? you can always ask anyone, a peer or a staff member. And yeah. And it brings out, once stability happens, it brings out the core essence of independence and community. And there's one more pillar. It'll come to me later.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it does come to you later, you can just...
Oh, wellness. Yes, it's wellness. Yes. Okay. Yes. Those are the three things that make a clubhouse a clubhouse.
Okay. And do you have a particular role that you play with the clubhouse? Or has it changed over time since you started? Things you're into that you might not have been into when you begun here?
When I first got to the clubhouse, it was just getting here.
Right.
Because a lot of people, the clubhouse is a long distance away. So 3 buses, 2 buses later, you know, or a metro access ride later, then I'm at the clubhouse and I stay here. When I used to come, I stay all day because it was that engaging. And time just didn't matter. But we did have structure. We do have structure here.
Yeah.
But when I first got here, I got asked to do so many things because of how I lived before with the depression and the darkness, I forgot who I was and what made me tick, you know, as a person, my skill sets, what I can bring to the table. And the clubhouse brought all those things back out. So I was involved in projects, activities, and then they brought in different programs that I could be a part of as well. And one of those very important programs was poetry as a tool for recovery. Mm-hmm. It changed my life. And I did this in tandem with learning mindfulness and joining the clubhouse. So these three things acted as a trifecta for me, transforming a person who didn't even write to someone who's actually expressing feelings through poetry.
Yeah.
And I've become a trained facilitator for poetry since that time. And mm-hmm. that's my major role at the clubhouse, is guiding other people through that same journey, that same process of learning poetry as a tool. It's one of the tools, many tools, but it's one tool that I know can work for people if they was, you know, if they wanted to.
All righty. How does your membership in the clubhouse interface with other parts of your life? How widely known is it among friends, family that your membership here has become just such a staple for you?
Everyone significant in my life knows Austin Clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And a beautiful moment was when my youngest brother and his wife came. It was around Thanksgiving of last year. They came and toured. And my brother said to me, he said, "I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know how to help you." He said, "I'm glad you have the clubhouse." And I just cried. I just cried. It was almost like validation, but somebody saw this place for what it was in my life. And that made the difference for me. My rabbi, to my girlfriends out of state, my nieces and nephews know about the Austin Clubhouse. My boss knows about the Austin Clubhouse. And when she asked me how she could get me to be at the office more, and I let her know that the clubhouse is very important, and I get to schedule my work week around events at the Austin Clubhouse. That's how much everyone knows.
Yeah. And I guess that's how you'd want it, right?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm without revealing too much about myself, because this here ain't about me, but you know, I mean, we people can live compartmentalized lives.
Yes.
And not out of any intent, but just because they find it easier to present you know, a facet of themselves to, mm-hmm. to this group, and then another facet to another group.
Exactly.
And I would imagine that there's a lot about, you know, just being a person in recovery mm-hmm. that just doesn't allow for that luxury beyond a certain point.
The stigma.
Yeah.
That's called the stigma.
Yeah.
And in a lot of communities, they feel more comfortable. I won't say they. I would say the majority of the people that I interact with who love me and care for me would like to think that I'm 100% on it. And I have to tell them, no, some days I struggle still. Yeah. Even with the clubhouse, even in my recovery, I still struggle. And the more people that know, the more support I receive. So I don't have to hide it anymore.
Or I would imagine also that it can feel exhausting having people turn to you as if you're an expert, even on your own story, because you can even lose a handle on that on a bad day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I find that when I set my boundaries and I realize what I'm capable of and I'm honest with myself, even if people do come to me, it's not an imposition. It's not overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because I'm not so much compartmentalized, but I just recognize that's beyond my scope.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it seems to me, you mentioned before how long it was until, you know, a place like this made it clear that you can have both fun and stability in your life at the same time. Mm-hmm. But likewise, it seems to me that wellness is also finding the right balance between being nurtured and being challenged. Mm. And knowing when a person needs either of those and when.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have examples of that since you've been here?
Oh. Yes. the staff here are not staff to me. They're my colleagues. Mm-hmm. And in the fact that we all engage in all of the activities together, from cleaning the bathrooms to cooking food. So my challenge was to actually get out of not cooking.
Right.
I don't know how to cook. So the challenge to me was to be able to get into the kitchen,
yeah,
leaving the business area and actually saying, I'm a purpose today. My purpose today is to help chop vegetables for lunch. Right.
Right.
And once I did that, I realized that it's still bonding. It's still community. I'm working alongside people I probably would not have interacted in the clubhouse with, because their forte is being in the kitchen. So when I purposed that challenge of let's go do something different today, it really wasn't a challenge at all. It was probably a very natural progression. And the nurturing part comes from making myself stop, you know, stop the work. It's time to eat. I want to keep pushing because I'm in a groove. I've been stopped by 3 people and I finally got this space to be by myself to finish this task. The challenge still is to stop. Stop this moment.
Yeah.
Go be with community. Yeah. We all sit around the table together. We get served by members and staff. You know, we never know who. And then after that, we partake in a meal. And there's laughter, there's sharing, there's catching up, you know, haven't seen each other in a long time, hey, how you doing? You know, that hug and that wave and that acknowledgement, that reinforces the challenges, that reinforces the nurturing. They're probably both same thing, because when we're talking about wellness, we're talking about people, I would say myself, who I've neglected the basic parts of my needs in eating. Has now become community.
Okay, so Athena, you mentioned a couple of responses ago your passion for poetry. So I was hoping that you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that with our listeners.
Well, sure.
So any whenever you're ready. I see you've got something in your hand right now.
Yes, I have a poem here. It was written back in midsummer, and it's called Here on You. Sitting, feeling, and thinking never felt so good as here on you. a place where my mind, my body, my introspection shifts. The tears, the laughter, I was not alone anymore. Grounded, solid, and real, it was not an illusion. The voices that I heard were not from me. Open, accepting, and sometimes prying. On you, I am safe. Surrounding you like an altar, I say a prayer. Tending to you like a buffet, you are plentiful. Servicing you like a chambermaid, we are clean. My hope and intention is that we never part inside my mind. These kind of memories are made for my lifetime. This poem was written originally from a series that we created during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of it was called Familiar Furnishings. And it's a poem about the conference table in which we partake of poetry as a tool for recovery. And it's this table in this room that we share confidences, we share feelings, we share experiences, and it's safe. I don't have to worry about feeling embarrassed or ashamed. Tears flow in this room. And we comfort each other and we support each other here. And my familiar furnishing was this table because it had a lot of transformative moments for me. So that's my familiar furniture.
Okay. Well, I'll stop taking my furniture for granted at least. Athena, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that does it for this episode of the podcast. Please sign up for the podcast e-newsletter by going to our website, hog.utexas.edu. Please review us on either iTunes or SoundCloud. Thank you so much for joining us.